The Lost World. The Stories About Sherlock Holmes by Arthur Conan Doyle. The Lost World. Chapter 1. Try Your Luck with Professor Challenger. How beautiful Gladys was. I loved her, but we were only friends. That day, I decided that the time had come. Would she say yes or no to me? When we were in her sitting room, near the warm fire in her house, she looked at me with her beautiful dark eyes and said, "I think you are going to ask me to be your wife, Ned. Don't do it." "But why can't you love me, Gladys? Is it my face? My figure? Or what?" "No, it isn't that," she said at last. "I'm in love with somebody else. It's nobody, only an ideal."
"What is your ideal?"
"Oh, he is much like you. Well, he is a strong man, a man who can look death in the face."
"We can't all be great heroes," said I. "Besides, I've never had the chance. But I'll try to take it."
"You know, chances are all around you."
"Give me a chance. I'll do something in the world. And if I do, not another word, sir. Some day you will win your place in the world. Then we shall talk it over again." I left her with my heart full of love. I wanted to find some heroic deed. When I came to my work, I worked at the Daily Gazette as a reporter. I asked Mr. McCardle, my boss, to send me to any dangerous place. I wanted it to be the most difficult one.
"Dear Mr. Malone, I'm afraid the time has gone. There's no place for romance anywhere."
"But wait a little bit," he said, with a smile on his face.
"What about a modern Munchausen?"
"I'm talking about Professor Challenger. Some people say he is a liar. You can have a chance to find out."
"Challenger," I cried. "Professor Challenger, the famous zoologist. But I don't understand why I must interview this gentleman. What has he done?"
"He went to South America on expedition 2 years ago and came back last year. Then he began to talk about his adventures, but he didn't tell everything. He didn't tell in detail. Something wonderful happened, or the man is a champion liar. He has only got some bad photos. He gets so aggressive that he attacks anyone who asks questions. He often sends reporters down the stairs. That's your man, Mr. Malone. Now off you go, and good luck." I left the office and went to have a drink in the cafe. There I met my friend Tarp Henry, a microbiologist. He was surprised. "Challenger? The man who came with some silly stories from South America. As far as I can remember, he told about some strange animals. And there was such a scandal. Now nobody believes him because of his impossible character."
"Well, besides, I have heard something of Challenger. They say he is a man nobody can ignore."
"What do you mean?"
"Would you like to come to my office? I've got something interesting to tell you." Half an hour later, I was in his office with a thick book in front of me. It was the professor's lecture, written for a scientific conference. I couldn't understand a word, but it was clear that the professor spoke to the audience in an unfriendly way. Then I had an idea to write a letter to the professor and send it with my friend's address on it. When the letter was finished, I read it to Tarp. The letter said that a poor student of nature, that was me, asked for an interview with the professor. He wanted to discuss some new scientific problems.
"Well, not bad, really. But what are you going to do then?" asked Tarp.
"To get there, when I am in his room..."
"When you are in his room, you need a gun or something like that to save your life. Remember, He is a dangerous character. Everyone hates him. On Wednesday, I found a letter waiting for me. I took a taxi, and in 20 minutes I was in front of a nice big house. An old servant opened the door, and I came into the house. In the corridor, I met a small, bright woman with dark Italian eyes. "One moment," she said. "May I ask a question? Have you met my husband before?" "No, madam." "Then I must tell you that he is an impossible person. Get quickly out of the room if he gets aggressive. I hope you are not going to speak about his expedition to South America." I could not lie to a lady. "Oh, dear, it is very dangerous. You won't believe a word he says, I'm sure. But don't tell him so, because it makes him very angry. Remember, he believes it himself. If you find him dangerous, really dangerous, ring the bell." With these words, the lady left me, and the servant led me to the professor's study. He was sitting at a large table, covered with books, maps, and diagrams. His head was very big. He had large, black-blue beard, and his eyes were blue-gray under great black eyebrows, very clear and very critical. Besides, I noticed two big hands covered with long black hair. "Well," he said in a roaring voice, "what now?" "Thank you for the chance to meet you, sir," I said quietly. "Oh, you are the young person who agrees with my ideas. What is more, you've got something of great interest to tell me. That is a great help to me, isn't it? So what would you like to tell me?" "I am a poor student," I said, with a silly smile. "At the same time, I think that you were a little unfriendly to some other scientists."
"Unfriendly? Well, I think you know," he said, "that the cranial index is a constant factor?"
"Naturally," said I.
"And that telegony is still sub judice?"
"Certainly, sir."
"And that the germ plasma is different from the parthenogenetic egg?"
"Why, surely," I cried.
"But what does that prove?"
he asked in a gentle voice.
"Ah, what indeed," I murmured. "What does it prove?"
"Shall I tell you?" he said in a low voice. "If you please, sir."
"It proves," he roared with a sudden anger, "that you are the journalist who has no more science in his head than he has truth in his reports."
He jumped to his feet.
"Nonsense," he cried. "That's what I told you, sir, scientific nonsense. Did you think you could play a trick on me? You played a dangerous game, and I think that you have lost it."
"Look here, sir," I said. "You can be angry as you like, but you will not attack me."
"Will I not?" He was slowly coming to me. "I have thrown some journalists out of the house. You will be the fourth. Get out of here."
"Don't be such a fool, Professor," I cried. That moment he jumped at me. The door was opened, and I was lucky not to go through it. We went to the front steps.
"Enough?" he asked when we went outside. We shouted at each other and used the worst words we knew. Soon a policeman came to us. "What's all this?" asked the policeman.
"This man attacked me," said I.
"Did you attack him?"
The professor said nothing.
"It's not the first time," said the policeman. "You were in trouble last month for the same thing. Do you give him in charge, sir?"
"No," said I. "I do not, because he gave me a warning." The policeman closed his notebook and, with the words of goodbye, left. The professor looked at me, and there was something humorous in his eyes.
"Come in," said he. "I've not done with you yet."